Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Jean Bailey Rabor. Jean Bailey Rabor is an award-winning professional speaker and author of She Has a Big Butt, Get Past Your Excuses and Realize Your Dreams. Known as that big butt humorous speaker, she uses slices of life and humor to entertain, motivate, and inspire. Jean has over 25 years experience in writing and 10 years speaking. She writes regularly for magazines from North Carolina to New Orleans. She has ghostwritten for clients from the United States to the United Kingdom and has published 4 books and contributed to 2 books. Jean has been a guest on the Joystream TV, featured in the Times News, and hosts the radio show Celebrate Your Life. Jean lives in Burlington, North Carolina, with her favorite furry friend Maxie and a few humans. During the show, we'll be talking about how to get past your big butts and excuses so you can live your dreams and love your life. For more information, visit www.jeanbaileyrabor.com. That's JeanBaileyRabor.com. Hello, Jean. Are you there?
Yes, Margot, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you. I am so happy to talk with you today. I love your sense of humor, and I love that you're about humor. And I think that because of the fact that when I'm reading it, she has a big butt, sounds like it could be the kind with the B-U-T-T, but this is the B-U-T exclamation point, which is excuses. I just wanted to mention that and have you talk a little bit about that, how your book
got titled
that.
Oh, sure, I'd be happy to. And you know, Margot, it's funny because when I give talks and I mention the title of that book, I get looks, everything from laughter to, should I be offended at this? And then I explain what it means. And I always say, that's but with one T, and then they embrace it. Now, I did choose that title because it's eye-catching and it's thought-provoking, and people will pick up the book just to flip through it to see what in the world is she talking about. What it truly is are 15 stories of women who have overcome challenges. They've gotten past those excuses to fail, those things I call big butts, and they've realized success. Not every story has humor in it. There is a little humor in there, but these are tough issues that women especially deal with every single day. You know, in this world we live in, there are things that happen to us, circumstances beyond our control, bad choices that we make ourselves that we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And these are women who have faced those issues and found a way to get past those big butts and realize success. So when I talk a bit about big butts, I'm not just talking about those women out there either. I'm talking about myself because, as you know, if you mm-hmm. get to the stage of the game that I am, you have faced some challenges and some life situations where you've had to make choices and maybe you have not always made the right ones. And mm-hmm. we have to get past those in order to move forward and have successful lives.
That is so true. That is so true. And I read the book. I read your book, and I have to say that I read the first story, and then I thought, well, I'm curious about the next one. And then I got curious about the next one and the next one. And you're right. Some of them are sad stories, and at least in the beginning, you know, but they all have mm-hmm. happy endings, which is really good. And
that's true. And that's what it's all about. You know, living life to the fullest. And when you talk about living your music, that's really what it's all about. We don't want just to let our life circumstances take us from here to there and wherever they go. We want to make sure that we're in charge of our lives and that we can live our music and do it successfully, not just for ourselves, but so we can have a good positive influence on other people as well.
No, that is so true. That is so true. And I was so inspired by so many of the stories in there about how the people taking care of the women, these are all women, although that was the other thing I wondered about was that, you know, maybe you could do one, he's got a big butt, because men have butts also, you know, when it comes to having excuses. So I think that you could have one for men as well. And And maybe one that's men and women. Maybe it can be a whole series.
Maybe so, because it's so interesting. You know, when I started writing this book, I thought, I want something that will inspire women, because I'm a woman and I needed inspiration myself. So
mm-hmm.
I did go out and I sought out women who would me. Some of them wanted to have their names changed, and that was completely okay with me, because the
mm-hmm.
main thing is to get the story out to inspire others. But it's interesting that you would say that about men, because of what happened to me last Sunday. I was giving a talk in a church, and afterwards the pastor had asked me if I would bring a few books, and I said, sure. So I told him during my talk, you know, if you want to look at this book, there it is on the back table. And afterwards people started going to the back table, so I went back there. I was signing the books, you know, selling these books. And then this gentleman came up to me, and I started to hand him a book, and he said, I don't want your book. And I said, what? And he said, here's a donation for your ministry. But he didn't, I said, can't you just give the book to some special woman in your life? He said, I don't really have anybody. And that was an interesting experience. Generally, men don't buy the book, but you know what? Every once in a while, a man will buy the book for some special lady in his life. And sometimes my personal friends maybe tell a Toastmasters, you know, we're both in Toastmasters International, and
mm-hmm.
they'll buy it just because of the connection that we have. I do
mm-hmm.
think it can inspire anyone. I think it speaks to women more, but I do
mm-hmm.
know that we all face those challenges, just like you said, and men do as well. I'm not quite sure if men would buy a book called Men Have, you know, I Have a Big Butt for Men, but who knows? We might just have to try that.
Yeah, they may not, and maybe you'd have to call it a different title for men. But that's one of the things that I've noticed so much with the books in the personal development field is that, unfortunately, more women buy them than men. And so
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the authors focus mostly on women. And it's interesting because I have my husband, I've got our son, we only have one child, and he's a boy, obviously. He's 24 now. And then my brother, Dwayne, also really loves reading personal development books and going to the talks with me, and he's been with me to see Wayne Dyer and Cheryl Richardson and Julia Cameron and a whole bunch of the others as well. And the thing is that he's always mentioning is that, why aren't there more men in these things, you know? And he wants me to put together a workshop or play shop, something fun to go with my book, because my book is actually for both men and women. I originally wrote it with our son in mind, you know, wanting to share
mm-hmm.
with him the things that, the life lessons that had helped me be able to be happy, spread happiness, and enjoy life, you know, and it's just, you know, there are so many messages in these books, like you said. I mean, your book definitely may not
mm-hmm.
appeal to men as far as the title, She Has a Big Butt, Get Past Your Excuses and Realize Your Dreams. But if they were to read it, they would definitely benefit from the stories and how these people overcame what their big butts were, you know.
That's true. And sometimes in the stories, it's not just the woman that goes through her challenges. It's the men, the family and their lives that are affected by those challenges as well. So, you know, it could be that if a man were to pick it up and read it, he might find something, some little nugget in there that he could use to maybe understand a situation a little better or encourage a woman in his life that's going through a tough time.
You know, that's a really, really good point, because I wasn't reading it with that thought in mind, but when I think back on it, that probably has got a lot of truth to it, because it can help men understand women and some of the challenges that they've had to deal with in a way that they wouldn't otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, but the thing is that we all have dreams. We all have things that we feel called to do and things that we hope we can achieve in our lives. And so often we grow up with hearing, oh, you shouldn't do that, or that's too hard, or that'll never work, you know, instead of Louise Hay's thing of, I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it too.
That's right. And we do hear that negative talk so much more than positive. I think if we can be that positive person in someone's life, it could make the difference in how they see themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Sometimes all it takes is just one person believing in you, someone that you trust really believes in you, not somebody that just, you know, always tells everybody, oh, you know, you're fine, you're great, whatever. But someone who's willing to tell you the truth with courage, kindness, grace, and love, and that is willing to help you and help you figure out how to go for your dreams.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you do that for someone and you're genuine and they take it to heart, it can not only change their life, but the lives of future generations just because of that legacy that they'll leave. So, you know, I think when we think about that responsibility that we have where we can encourage others, how can we say no to that? How can we not try to improve ourselves to the point where we can help others become better themselves?
Oh, that is so true. And that brings us back to reminding me that how I met you originally was because of Cheryl Richardson, and that I had seen a post that you put on her Facebook wall, I think way back in like 2009, about Toastmasters and thanking her for inspiring you to join Toastmasters. And I had commented on that post because she also inspired me to join Toastmasters, and I had joined it at the very end of 2004, so I really got started in it in 2005. And oh my God, it's been made such a huge difference in my life, and I know it has in yours. And I really, really recommend. Yeah, I recommend it to people because it's like Gold's Gym for your mind and for your communication. And I figure we can never be too good at communicating, and it helps you learn to listen better as well.
It really does, and I love what you just said, Gold's Gym for your mind. That is exactly what it is. I often feel like I'm a walking commercial for Toastmasters because it has changed my life so drastically, and like you said, it was all because of Cheryl Richardson. She had written a book, and I had checked it out at our local library. It was a book on tape. Now, at that time, Margo, as you know, I was going through a really tough time in my personal life, and as you may know, when you're going through a tough time in your personal life, it affects your professional life as well. It affects every aspect, relationships, everything. So I was feeling pretty low, had low self-esteem, not very much confidence, and I picked up that book. I listened to it, and she mentioned the word Toastmasters, and I thought, what in the world is Toastmasters? So I Googled it and found out we had had a club almost 50 years right here in Burlington, North Carolina, where I live. Never heard of it. It's the best-kept secret in town, apparently. And I showed up at a meeting that night. I slipped in on the back row because I was really shy. And I saw a guy give a speech. Afterwards, I went up to him. I said, that was awesome. And he said, let me tell you a story. He said, just like you, I slipped in Toastmasters one night. And he said, I could not even introduce myself to the group. Now, this is a small group, maybe 15 members, 15 to 20, and he could not even speak his name and introduce himself to the group and tell them how he'd heard about Toastmasters. Now, I could even do that, as shy as I was, and I thought, wow, if Toastmasters can get you from where you were to where you are tonight, then this is the group for me. And it was so encouraging. I mean, the people are the greatest. And I just started coming. I think I joined the second time I visited, and it's been the most wonderful journey. I mean, I wouldn't have met you without Toastmasters, but it's been a great journey. It's been good for my personal life, professional life. I just can't say enough good things about Toastmasters International.
No, I totally agree with you. It's one of the best choices that I've ever made in my life was to go ahead and go to one of the meetings. And I had, unlike you, I had heard about it for years and years and years. I'd heard about it from Earl Nightingale originally, from Nightingale Conan. Are you familiar with him? Yeah, and he was so inspiring to me, and I had heard about it from him, and I think I'd heard about it from some other people. But it was always something that I felt, well, I'd like to do that someday, you know, that I just kept putting it off and putting it off. And then I finally, while I was 50, I thought, you know, I really want to do this at least one time. I'm going to go to one meeting and see what it's like and see if I like it. And same thing as you. I was so amazed by how much fun it was and how it just the people made me feel like I fit in right away. They were welcoming, and I remember the president at the time was this man named Tim Driscoll, who's still in the club, and he's really, really tall, and I'm not that tall, so I'm looking way up at him, and he was just so welcoming, and he ended up being my very first evaluator there. And Cheryl had said that she would always remember her first evaluator, and it's so true. You remember your first evaluator at Toastmasters.
It's amazing. It really is. And, you know, that's really where we grow in Toastmasters. I think when we teach our Toastmasters to give good evaluations, we're giving so much value back to everyone that comes through that door, because that is really how you grow.
Yeah, it's so true. And every time I do an evaluation, I think about that, about how to do it in a way where they can realize their strengths and focus on mostly on those, and then give them one or two things that they can work on for the next time to do it better, but mostly to catch them doing things right.
I think you're right. And sometimes we don't think about that as evaluators. Now, in 2010, I actually won our district's evaluation championship, and that was, whether I had won or not, this is what going through the contest did for me. It made me focus on evaluations. And because of that, I created a program called Rock Your Evaluation that I often give at TLIs, which is Toastmasters Leadership Institutes, or at the district conferences. And what that does, it teaches Toastmasters not just to focus on those improvement points, but to focus on the things people do well when they speak, because we need to know that. Additionally, it encourages people to find those improvement points, because we need to know that as well. And if we just tell somebody, hey, you did great, that's not really helping them. We have to be specific in our feedback and encouraging in our feedback, and make them feel empowered to give that next speech the next time they stand up there on stage. So I learned a lot through that whole process, and that's invaluable. I mean, that information that I've learned over the years just about evaluations has helped me not only in Toastmasters to encourage other people, but also outside of Toastmasters when I have to evaluate an employee or a fellow colleague. You know, there's just no price you can put on what you learn through Toastmasters.
It's so true, and I don't know about you, but it helps with relationships, too. It helps. To me, communication is such a huge part of living a life you love, and that's why I have a whole chapter. Chapter 6 is all about communication with yourself and with other people. And, you know, you really have to think about that voice in your head that's telling you all these negative things, too, and start reprogramming it with positive things and positive experiences and things that you want to create in your life.
You're absolutely right. I think where we put our focus means a lot. If we focus on all those things that are wrong with us, or that we perceive to be wrong with us, how in the world are we ever going to lift ourselves up out of that? But if we focus on the things that we do well, on our strengths, and, you know, look at the positive in our lives, how much better are we even just going to feel, but not only feel, but be productive and be able to influence others in a positive way? There's so much, like you said, that has to do with communication, you know, setting our attitudes in the morning before we, I don't know about you, but I'm not a morning person. So when you talk about living your music, I have to get going with music in the morning. And I'll choose something really upbeat. And people that, when I go into the office, they think I'm a morning person, but I'm really not. I'm just upping my attitude before I get to the office. That's what I'm doing. So I think we have to use tools that we have that will work for us to make that happen, so we will have that positive influence on others.
That's so true. And, you know, what you said about music is so true. It can be an incredible mood shifter. You know, if you put on some music that's in the mood that you're in, and then you can kind of put on faster and faster, more uplifting music, then you can actually move yourself up the emotional scale just by doing that.
And it's so simple and very, you know, inexpensive. I mean, anybody can do it.
So true, so true. I mean, you can download most songs for just 99 cents now, you know. Seems like
that's right.
Yeah, so, you know, it's pretty easy to do that. You know, in your book, speaking of the self-esteem, I was thinking about Chapter 7 was Joanne's story, and it was she was having low self-esteem. And I copied down what you said here, or what it said in there. It said, however, I realized through much research that the validation I sought had to come from within. I began to comprehend that by listening to the negative self-talk in my head, I understood why I felt the way I did. My thoughts controlled how I felt. And then can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, she ended up getting control of her thoughts, but I think that's something we all need to do, no matter how positive we are.
I think so, too. I think so, too. And Joanne was a student. And, you know, it's interesting how we can be intelligent, we can be successful, but maybe we don't see that in ourselves. Other people may see that, and we have a lack of confidence. But for her, she had low self-esteem. And maybe on the outside looking in, we would see her as pretty successful, but she didn't see that in herself. And she was trying to please others rather than looking inside of herself for validation that, you know, she was okay, that she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? When she came to that realization, that was one of those big buts, you know, that she just had to get out of the way. And when she realized that, she realized that she could enjoy a happier and more fulfilling life because she saw herself the way she really, truly was, the way other people saw her, and she never looked back. And that's so interesting to me that she would write that story as a student because sometimes young people, you know, we think about those of us who have lived a while and gone through a lot of things, but sometimes young people really struggle with that self-esteem and how they see themselves.
Oh, I know. I totally did. I remember I was okay, I guess, with self-esteem up through eighth grade, but then I went from a really small eighth grade into a huge high school, and my self-esteem just plummeted. And it's like I would believe every negative thing that people would say about me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very painful time in my life, and that's part of what inspired me to write my book, was to write about the things I wish I'd known before I started high school so I could help other people, kids, and adults,
mm-hmm.
if they need it too, to have better self-esteem and to start really believing in themselves and believing that they can go for their dreams.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that I've always tried. I have three children. They're grandchildren. I have one grandbaby,
mm-hmm.
and one on the way, and one of the
mm-hmm.
things that I've tried to do is to make sure that they do believe in themselves, that I praise them when they do something well, because I think too often we see what children do that aren't so great and we, you know, criticize. But it's just easier to do that. But we really need to praise our children as a society. You know, it doesn't have to be my children or your child. Anybody out there that's doing
right.
good, let's find them. Let's catch them doing good and tell them about it and make sure that we help them raise their self-esteem. I think that's so important.
Yeah, it is so important, and it you know, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to really get into that because it is
right.
such an important topic. But it reminds me of Spencer Johnson, I think, talking about how to catch kids doing things right, because, you know, the thing is that if you're always just paying attention to them because of what they do wrong, negative attention is like better than none at all. And I watched that
mm-hmm.
happen with kids when our son was growing up. The ones that got in the most trouble got the most attention for when they would do something wrong. Instead
mm-hmm.
of having people look for things that they did right and point that out so that they got attention for doing things well. And
That's
true. You know, it's something that we can also do for other adults as well, is to point out when they do things well instead of just telling them when they do something wrong.
Absolutely. And, you know, that makes me think of that quote that you and I just love by Leo Buscaglia.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
this? Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. That's really what it's all about.
It's so true. It's so true. And oh, I love that quote, and that's why you were the one I got it from, and I have it still on the tagline of my emails as well, because it's so true, and I've had people comment on that they really love that quote and that it reminds them to do it
mm-hmm.
themselves and to realize that they can be kind and turn things around for people.
It really does, and I appreciate that reminder as well because, you know, even though we know what we need to do, sometimes we need those little reminders to say, hey, make this day count. Make this day be a day where you touch others' lives.
Exactly, and that's part of why I have it on the email. It's not just for other people. It's to remind me of how important that is. We only have about a little over 5 minutes left, so I want to make sure that I have time to mention that next week's show on Wednesday, May 28th, my guest will be Deanna Durrell. Deanna Durrell is an intuitive relationship coach, a certified angel therapy practitioner with Doreen Virtue, a master energy healer and spiritual teacher, and we'll be talking about the music she hears calling her and how you can listen to your own intuition to help you get great results in your life. And I'll be posting the links for it on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also sign up for my email list on my website at margotjoydenader.com. And Jean, for you, to connect with you online, it's Jean Bailey. How do you pronounce your last name? Is it Rebor? I was hoping I'd gotten
that. You can pronounce it any way you want to, but it's either Rebor or Rebor, however you want to say it.
I meant to ask you about that at first. So anyway, it's at www.jeanbaileyrobor.com. And you are on Facebook, I know, and I love seeing your posts on Facebook, and people can like your Facebook page, right?
Yes, and you can like my page, you can be my friend, you can connect on LinkedIn and Twitter, or book me for your next speaking event at gigmasters.com.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. And in your speeches, that's where you use your humor, right?
Yes, and that's interesting because of Toastmasters, I had the nerve to actually graduate from comedy school last year at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that has been a wild ride. I have so enjoyed learning more about humor and comedy, and I believe it truly connects with people. We all love to laugh, even when we have hard topics to talk about. If we can throw a little bit of humor in there, it makes it easier to digest sometimes.
Oh, that is so true, and that's definitely something that I love is when people can make me laugh and make other people laugh, and it's definitely something I want to learn how to do more of. And I think part of being able to be funny, though, is also being willing to just be who you are, because sometimes being who you are is what makes you funny. I've noticed that with the other people, so it's a good reminder for us all.
I think we all like humor. Mm-hmm. Just be yourself. Be yourself. Have a conversation with somebody. Throw something in there that strikes you as funny and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Our son loves humor, and he's been doing some stand-up comedy and down in Hollywood where he lives. He's working as a film editor down there, and he's done a couple of stand-up comedy gigs and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
we
great. I know you're proud of him.
Oh, I know. We haven't been able to go down and see them, but I would love to. But he's always loved that, and he likes to start things with funny story. But
mm-hmm.
I just want to say to everyone that's listening out there, I would like you to answer these questions. What music do you hear calling you? Are you living the music that you hear calling you? Oh, I hope you are, because we need everybody to be living the music they hear calling them. The happier we are, the happier people around us will be. And Jean, it's just been so awesome having you on the show, and I really, really, really appreciate you being on the show with me today, and I'm glad I read your book. It really inspired
me.
I intend to read it again and get
it's
re-inspired.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, is there anything last-minute thing that you'd like to say to everyone?
Let me just share this with your listeners. If you do have self-esteem issues, confidence issues, if you want to learn better communication and leadership skills, do check out Toastmasters.org. This is something that Margo and I have both found to be valuable, and I just think you owe it to yourself to look into that if you're not a Toastmaster already, because it can change your life.
It's so true. You're right. It's one of the best things for self-esteem, whether people want to speak publicly or not. Thank you again for being on my show. I'm going to have to say bye for now, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye.